sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today I want to spend some time on the September 24th, 2010 FBI raids on peace activists in Chicago and Minneapolis. First, you'll hear a short interview with one of the peace activists while his home was being raided. That will be followed by a brief interview on Russia Today with Paul Craig Roberts. And then you'll hear a clip from the Corbett Report by James Corbett, who sums up our current state of affairs in a most poignant way. And I'll close the show with some comments by a few folks who attended the Hope Out Loud Peace Festival in Bushnell Park in Hartford on September 19th. Heavily armed SWAT teams smashed down doors and conducted simultaneous raids in Minneapolis and Chicago early in the morning on Friday, September 24th, 2010. They were armed with search warrants, and for some of the activists, with subpoenas requiring them to appear before a grand jury in Chicago in October. Their goal is apparently to try to link the anti-war activists with providing the material support of terrorism. And now here's Mick Kelly describing what was happening while the FBI were upstairs raiding his apartment. I apologize for the audio quality of this clip. It was recorded in a restaurant, so there's some background noise that I couldn't edit out, but I think it's well worth hearing despite that.
Mick Kelly?
Yes.
Tell us what's been going on today.
Well, the FBI has raided my home. Right now, there's about 10, 12 FBI agents rummaging through my papers, documents. They've confiscated computers, they've taken my passport, etc.
And we're in the Hard Times Cafe in Cedar Riverside, and your apartment is just upstairs from the cafe, right?
That's correct.
So there are agents upstairs right now?
That's correct.
How many?
10 to 12.
When did they arrive?
Several hours ago.
And what did they say? Approximately what time? Any guess?
I'm going to say 7:30.
Okay. What did they tell you? What interaction did you have with them?
I wasn't there. I was at work.
Okay.
And I received a call that they were there. They came in. My understanding is they came in, guns drawn, kicked the door open, smashed a fish tank, and proceeded to execute a search warrant.
Did they interact with anybody who in the apartment, neighbors, friends of yours?
Yes, they interacted with the person I live with.
Okay, and she called you?
Yes, she did.
They came in, guns drawn, kicked in the door, broke fish tank.
That's my understanding.
Any suspicions or guesses as to what they're looking for, why they're here, why they're targeting your apartment?
I have, for a long time, been active in the anti-war movement, and I see this as harassment of anti-war activists and those who stand in solidarity with those who are fighting for freedom and justice around the world.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is the U.S. is intervening everywhere,
mm-hmm,
and has created an empire. And as a result, all over the world, folks are dissatisfied, and I am too. And I'm speaking out for justice, for the right of people to determine their own destiny, and I suspect that has something to do with why they're there right now.
Have you had any past interactions with the FBI or past arrests or so-called criminal record?
Certainly. I've been active in the progressive movement for almost 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, I helped to organize the march on the RNC.
And, the Republican National Convention here in St. Paul.
National Convention. I was one of the spokespeople.
In 2008, uh-huh.
One of the spokespeople for the coalition to march on the RNC and stop the war. I've long been active in progressive circles. So, yes, I have been arrested once or twice,
mm-hmm,
or perhaps more.
Mm-hmm.
And I have interacted with the authorities on a number of occasions.
Has the FBI ever raided your a home of yours or property of yours in the past?
No, they have not.
Okay. Any guesses as to why they'd come in with guns drawn? Did they suspect that you might have weapons in your home?
I have no idea. In terms of their behavior, you have to ask them.
Right.
I for one, cannot read minds. There's things I know, for example, that it's very important to oppose U.S. wars at home and abroad. But what motivates these particular agents, again, you'd have to ask them.
Just for the record, if I may, do you have any weapons in your home?
Just for the record, if I have hunted or whatever.
What happens now? Actually, let me back up. There are FBI raids happening elsewhere in the cities right now.
That's correct.
Okay. What do we know about those?
I really don't know much of anything about them because I'm here and the FBI agents are in my home right now.
And fellow activists are coming, are rallying for your support right now?
They are. There's been an outpouring of support from the progressive community. People are calling me from around the country. I think in the progressive movement in the Twin Cities and across the U.S. in general, I think there's an understanding that an injury to one is an injury to all.
Yeah.
And to take away the right of myself to speak out or another activist, actually, it really diminishes all of us in our ability to organize for the things that we want and need.
Are you represented? Is anybody representing you upstairs right now?
Yes. My attorney has been present, yes.
Okay. We might try to go up there in a second ourselves with this camera and see how far we get.
You may, but you're going to allow me to go up there first.
Yes, you bet. Thank you, Mick.
Okay.
There were nationwide protests against these FBI raids. I attended the one in Hartford in front of the federal building on Main Street on Tuesday, September 28th. A reporter from the Hartford Courant was there briefly and took several photos. One appeared on page B3 of the Connecticut Now section the next day. And here's what they wrote about the protest. Protest in Hartford. Loud and clear message. No more raids, no more lies, chants Chris Hutchison of Hartford as he leads about 30 demonstrators representing 21 local activist movements, including Connecticut United for Peace, in a protest against alleged FBI raids on anti-war activists. Hutchison and other protesters gathered in front of the federal building on Main Street in Hartford. There were similar protests throughout the U.S. today. Now, when it comes to the Hartford Courant, or corporate media in general, I guess you have to be thankful that they covered the event at all. However, I have three complaints about the coverage. Number one, the guy in the photo, Chris Hutchison, is running for Congress against John Larson in the 1st District. The Current didn't bother to mention that. Number two, the photo they chose to use in the paper was of the only guy wearing a Muslim-looking scarf, perhaps trying to link the peace activists with terrorists. But my biggest concern is that they chose to use the word alleged in their description of the photo, as in protest against alleged FBI raids. So I emailed the reporter, Patrick Raycraft, to ask why they used the word alleged, since a little fact-checking would have cleared that up if they weren't sure. He wrote back and confessed that they dropped the ball on that. He even said that it only takes a few minutes to fact-check. And he also said that if I still wanted to talk about it, well, that would be cool. Well, I did want to talk about it some more, so I checked the Current's mission statement and identified many parts of it that the coverage on the protest failed to live up to. And I emailed this list to Patrick and requested that they correct their mistakes and do another article on the FBI raids and the protests that were accurate. Patrick responded that he would share my request with his editor. It's been a few days, and I haven't heard anything yet. Tune in next week for an update on this. And now here's an interview on Russia Today with former Reagan administration official Paul Craig Roberts regarding the FBI raids on the peace activists on September 24th, 2010.
Is it the war on dissent, or rather, the war on terrorism? Well, that's what many folks are asking, especially after the FBI raided the homes of several anti-war activists and leaders in Minneapolis, Chicago, and possibly other cities in the Midwest. Now, members of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force apparently seized personal photos, computers, and cell phones, also serving federal grand jury subpoenas on several activist. Well, former Ronald Reagan official and columnist Paul Craig Roberts joins me now from Georgia. Good to see you there, Dr. Roberts. So the FBI on Friday searched 8 addresses in Minneapolis and Chicago, including the home of the executive director of the Arab American Action Network. Apparently, the feds were looking for connections between local anti-war activists and groups in Colombia and the Middle East. But, you know, some people aren't buying that justification. I want you to talk a little bit more about the way that the FBI is painting this search. What do you think is really going on here?
Well, the anti-war protesters themselves have said that this is an attempt to intimidate them so that they cease organizing anti-war demonstrations. I think it's much more serious even than that. And what the United States government is doing is establishing in the public's mind that anyone who criticizes the so-called war on terror is giving material aid to terrorism. You see, we don't have a war against Iraq or war against Afghanistan. We have a war against terror. And under the rubric of terror, the government has stripped us of our civil liberties. And so what they're doing now is to create the impression and get public acceptance of the idea that people who protest the war against terror are aligned with terrorists. And the definition of material support is one of those very vague police state terms that can be interpreted however the government wants.
Well, it's interesting that you mention that because, you know, the FBI has declined to give details on these searches, saying that the agency was investigating criminal activities not protected by the First Amendment. But you mentioned these terms, you know, terms like violent extremism and material support. It seems like they're very broadly defined. They're kind of vague. So where do you draw that line between folks who are advocating for peace, those who are opposed to wars, and those that actually do provide material support for terrorist organizations abroad? There's a very delicate balance here.
Well, I think the government is not interested in any balance. What they're establishing is that if you criticize what we're doing, you're against us. Remember Bush's declaration, you're for us or you're against us? And now this is being brought home to the American people so that if you criticize the government, not just the war on terror, for example, I think the real target of the Homeland Security and the FBI are the 9/11 truthers, because the people who are challenging the government's account of 9/11, they're the ones who are really dangerous to the government, and they keep producing more and more evidence that the government's account is fraudulent. And I think that the government is starting with the anti-war protesters because a lot of Americans still resent the anti-war protesters of the Vietnam era. And they still think that they lost the Vietnam War because of the anti-war protesters. So the people will accept the government cracking down on anti-war protesters. But the next step will be other groups of dissent against government policies.
And of course, those protesters are saying, look, we're just practicing our constitutional rights. But here's the thing. This is not the first time that we are hearing of cases, of stories like this. And you have said, you've written actually, that the most concerning thing of all here is that these cases set up a dangerous precedent. That next time the raids or even the punishment might be harsher. I just want you to elaborate a little bit more on that point.
Well, that's exactly what the government's doing. That's what it's setting up. It's going about it step by step. This is just the opening note. You see, look, first of all, the warrants that the judge issued for the raid on the anti-war protesters are illegal because the FBI did not produce any evidence that there was criminal activities on the part of these people. So it was a fishing expedition warrant. These are not the kind of warrants that are permissible under the American Constitution. And what the government is doing, what the government is declaring is that you do not have any constitutional rights when it comes to questioning what we are doing in the name of the war on terror. Whatever we do in the war on terror is our right as government, and if you question it, then it means you're on the side of the terrorist. That is the paradigm, the legal paradigm that is being created. And so it won't just be anti-war protest organizers. It will be anyone who criticizes any aspect. And I think they will use this eventually to shut down legal groups like the American Civil Liberties Union, because they will say, well, look at you. You are defending people who are giving material aid to terrorism. You are yourself giving material aid to terrorism. And so they're going to shut down all forms of legal protection of our civil liberties and constitutional rights. That's what is afoot.
It's definitely a precarious situation. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, always an interesting conversation. Thanks.
And here's James Corbett of the Corbett Report, pulling it all together when it comes to the bogus war on terror.
Those who have studied history know that nothing invigorates and empowers an authoritarian regime more than a spectacular act of violence, some sudden and senseless loss of life that allows the autocrat to stand on the smoking rubble and identify himself as the hero. It's at moments like this that the public, still in shock from the horror of the tragedy that has just unfolded before them, can be led into the most ruthless despotism. Despotism that now bears the mantle of security. Acts of terror and violence never benefit the average man or woman. They only ever benefit those in positions of power. This is why Nero fiddled while Rome burned. It gave him a chance to throw out the Christians to the lions and rebuild the capital of the Roman Empire in his own image. This is why Hearst and the warmongers of the emerging American Empire were delighted by the destruction of the USS Maine in Havana Harbor in 1898. It gave them the excuse they needed to rouse the public into supporting the Spanish-American War. This is why Israel attacked the USS Liberty in 1967 during the Six-Day War, strafing and torpedoing it relentlessly for hours in a vain attempt to send it to the bottom. The Israelis believed that the loss of the Liberty could be blamed on Egypt and draw the Americans into war. This is why there are hundreds of documented examples of government staging attacks in order to blame them on their political enemies. In every civilization, in every culture, in every historical period, authoritarians have known that spectacular acts of violence help to further consolidate their own power and control. And sadly, throughout history, there have been all too many willing to allow attacks to occur, to pretend that attacks have occurred, or even to attack their own population in order to further their political agenda. To think that such staged provocations and false flag attacks no longer occur would be as unrealistic as believing that human nature itself has changed, that powerful people no longer seek to increase their power, that influence is never used for deceit or manipulation, that lies are no longer told to satisfy greed or slake the thirst for control. It is to believe that our society is immune from those things that we have seen in every other society, in every other era. In short, it's a dangerous delusion. The people are once again learning the power of this delusion. They are learning the extent to which they have been lied to. They are once again studying their history. The Russians are learning how the FSB was caught planting bombs in Moscow in 1999 during a terror scare that swept Putin into power and stirred the public into supporting the Second Chechen War. They are learning how their autocratic ex-president came to power campaigning on the graves of those his old FSB cronies had killed. The Israelis are learning how Mossad has been caught time and again posing as the very Muslim terrorists they claim to be opposing. They are learning how Israel uses the specter of terror to further extend their blank check drawn on American funds to expand their police state at home and maintain their hardline stance, the world's sixth largest nuclear superpower supposedly threatened by the possibility that one of their neighbors may one day obtain a single nuclear weapon. The British are learning how their SAS officers were caught dressing up as Arabs in Iraq, driving around with trucks full of munitions, shooting at police to stir up ethnic tensions and ensure that permanent bases could be built in the region. They are learning how Harun Aswat, the supposed mastermind behind the 7/7 bombings, was working for British intelligence. They are learning how British military intelligence took part in IRA bombings. The Indians are learning how the Mumbai attack was helped by a U.S. agent who is cooperating with investigators so that he won't face questioning by foreign authorities. The Canadians are learning how their own provincial police dressed up as protesters in 2007 and threatened violence against other police in order to force a crackdown on peaceful protests. And the Americans. The Americans are learning that there were multiple bombs found, dismantled, and taken out of the Alfred P. Murrah building on April 19, 1995. They are learning that Timothy McVeigh had written a letter to his sister in which he claimed to be in the Special Forces for the U.S. Army. They are learning the bombing was being directed by FBI informants, just as the 1993 World Trade Center bombing was. They are learning about 9/11 and the Gulf of Tonkin and Operation Northwoods and their own Army counterinsurgency manuals that teach officers how to commit false flag attacks to blame on their enemies. In short, the people are learning the truth. And now we see the same build-up to a false flag event taking place that we saw in 1995. At that time, the U.S. had a corporate media desperate to fling mud at anyone concerned by the actions of their government, and it had a government that was desperately unpopular. Today, we see the exact same factors at play. If anything, the situation today is worse than it was in the run-up to the Oklahoma City bombing, with media consolidation meaning that groups of concerned citizens like the Oath Keepers are being attacked by the controlled minions on both the left and the right. And now it is not just the militia that is being demonized by the establishment. It is veterans and gun owners, third-party supporters and libertarians, anti-war protesters and human rights campaigners, people who are upset with a government giving trillions to the banks that have engineered our current financial crisis. In short, everyone is now a potential terrorist according to the governmental and media agencies that deign to limit our range of acceptable opinion and control dissent. Even the word terrorist means something more than it did back in 1995. Now, after the false flag attack of 2001 allowed the passage of the Patriot Act, after the boogeyman of Al Qaeda gave the NSA the opportunity to announce that they were collecting everyone's emails and everyone's telephone calls, after the former White House press secretary came out and admitted that the Bush administration had made up terror threats in order to scare the people into supporting the government, now we know what the real definition of terrorism is. It is governments scaring their own populations into line. But there is something else that's different now from what it was in 1995. The people are learning something else about terrorism. They are not terrorists for speaking out against their government. They are not terrorists for wanting the government to stop selling their children into servitude to pay bankers their bonuses. They are not terrorists for pointing out that the FBI and the CIA and Mossad and MI6 are behind every major international terrorist event. The people are not terrorists because they do not want to see more death. They do not want more destruction. The spilling of the blood of their fellow citizens is not in their interests. Death and destruction only ever serve the governmental and financial and industrial interests who always grow in power and wealth in the wake of every tragedy. Time and again, the people pay with their lives, and the governments and the banks and the war machine only grows and prospers. The people do not want terrorism because it does not benefit them. It only benefits the existing power structure. And this time, if there is another staged event to blame on the government's enemy of the day, the people will know who to blame. For the Corbett Report in Western Japan, I am James Corbett.
To learn more about James Corbett and hear his other reports, his website is CorbettReport.org, and that's Corbett, CORBETT. And now I'm going to read parts of an article from the October 2010 edition of the Rock Creek Free Press, which is one of my favorite newspapers. The title is "There Is No Al-Qaeda Threat," and it was written by Eric Margolis in the Toronto Sun. So here goes. The London-based International Institute for Strategic Studies is the world's leading think tank for military affairs. It represents the top echelon of defense experts, retired officers, and senior military men, spanning the globe from the United States and Britain to China, Russia, and India. I've been an IISS member for over 20 years. IISS's reports are always authoritative but usually cautious, and diplomatic, sometimes dull. However, 2 weeks ago, the IISS issued an explosive report on Afghanistan that is shaking Washington and its NATO allies. The report, presided over by the former deputy director of Britain's Foreign Intelligence Agency, MI6, says the threat from Al-Qaeda and the Taliban has been exaggerated by the Western powers. The U.S.-led mission in Afghanistan has ballooned out of all proportions from its original aim of disrupting and defeating Al-Qaeda. The U.S.-led war in Afghanistan, says IISS, using uncharacteristically blunt language, is a long, drawn-out disaster. Just recently, the CIA chief, Leon Panetta, admitted there were no more than 50 members of al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, yet U.S. President Barack Obama has tripled the number of U.S. soldiers there to 120,000 to fight al-Qaeda. The IISS report goes on to acknowledge that the presence of the Western troops in Afghanistan is actually fueling national resistance. Interestingly, the portion of the report overseen by the former MI6 Secret Intelligence Service Deputy Chief Nigel Inkster finds little al-Qaeda threat elsewhere, notably in Somalia and Yemen. Yet Washington is beefing up its attacks on both turbulent nations. Abandoning its usual discretion, IISS said it was issuing these warnings because the deepening war in Afghanistan was threatening the West's security interests by distracting its leaders from the world financial crisis and Iran, and burning through scarce funds needed elsewhere. The IISS's findings are a direct challenge to Obama, Britain's new Prime Minister David Cameron, and other U.S. allies with troops in Afghanistan. This report undermines the rationale used to sustain the increasingly unpopular conflict. It will certainly convince skeptics that the real reason for occupation of Afghanistan has to do with oil, excluding China from the region, and keeping watch on nuclear-armed Pakistan. To read the rest of that article, you can go to their website at www.rockcreekfreepress.com. And now here are two people's opinions on 9/11, whom I spoke to at the Hope Out Loud Peace Festival in Bushnell Park in Hartford on September 19th.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and when I think about 9/11, I think that when I saw the Twin Towers going down on TV, I was in shock like lots of people and didn't give it a second thought. I mostly then heard the official story being spun pretty early on and didn't really question it until some of my friends began looking deeper. And now what I know, what I say, is that if you want to just look at the fact that building number 7 of the World Trade Center went down later in that afternoon with no explanation that anyone could fathom and was never investigated by the official commission looking into the 9/11 event or crime, then you have to believe, I have to believe, that there needs to be a new investigation. We don't have the information that we deserve in a democracy. It's worth getting involved and getting informed to look at how our government has hidden the truth from us.
Joe Wasserman, I think the official story is full of a lot of gaps and holes, and a lot of questions need to be answered. We need a new investigation. I'm concerned that the U.S. mass media have refused to discuss any of these very legitimate questions, such as the fact that the bin Laden family was taken out of the country the day after 9/11 without the FBI having a chance to investigate them or ask them questions, and other issues such as the fact that we have 1,200 engineers and architects putting their careers on the line, signing off on a letter asking for a new investigation that has not been discussed in the mainstream media. We need to push the media to discuss this and push Congress for a new investigation.
The level of public interest and awareness of 9/11 has grown tremendously. Please do all you can do to continue to spread the word. Time is not on our side. If we want to stop the killings, the maimings, the bombings, and the dislocations of millions of people in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and other countries, and take back our own country, we need to take away the false justifications for these actions. And that's by exposing the truth of 9/11. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.